world, and now you can live in it for 1 hour each week right here on Podcast One. Hi, everybody. I'm a little on fire today.
Yeah, you are.
What are you looking at?
Your cup. Is it empty?
Ish. I have to be honest. We're drinking.
Finally.
You know why?
Finally.
Here, give me your cup.
Oh, do you hear that?
What? That pop
the cork
noise?
Yes.
Cork noise? I wonder if we should have the driver get a few more. That's bad.
Tell me now.
Oh, should we?
One?
One? Just one.
Just one.
All right.
What's one?
Here you go. Cheers.
Oh, salut.
Salut. Okay. Hey. Okay. I'm starting out today's show. By the way, my dad's doing better. So thank you, everyone, for your responses. I really appreciated that. I'm feeling good today, mildly awkward. I have a lot of stuff going on that I cannot share yet, but I'm going to share. But I don't know.
Yeah, because you don't want to be that person. Like, I have so much going on and then I
hate
can't
that.
Tell you.
You know what my biggest pet peeve is when you hear someone going like this, stay tuned, big things coming.
That, I know.
That's an automatic, like nothing is ever happening.
Exactly.
I hate that. So forget that. Anyway, but everything's going well. Kids are, I don't know, everyone's good. Everyone's good right now. Everything seems to be fine. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
I don't.
No,
but I heard it's like
Terry goes,
so
oh my God, watch Game of Thrones with me. I go, okay. I go, what season? What season is it? And he goes, seven. I go,
Me too. I'm like, okay, so in about 3 years I'll let you know how that's going.
Yeah, he's like, it's good. There's it's basically about these two families and they're all trying to blah, 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 and the rest of it sounded like this. Blah, 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 blah. And I went, all right, yeah, I'm not watching. You go watch with your brother. Can we talk about The Bachelorette?
Okay, let's talk about
I can't read that right now.
Oh my God, I can't
put it down. I can't read it. We're having a moment, people. I'm sorry. Okay, we're back.
Oh
we're back and we're
God,
good.
God, I can't.
The Bachelorette. Heather,
okay.
Heather, do you watch The Bachelorette?
No,
oh
I should.
My
By the way,
gosh.
I'm going to binge watch it and then because they have what,
like
maybe two episodes? I know,
left.
But I want to talk about it. We'll do like the grand finale, but
okay.
I'm going to binge watch
you
it.
You will?
Oh, heck yeah.
Okay, good. So The Bachelorette, the three remaining guys go to her house this week.
Okay.
All right. So I watched it with the girls. Thankfully, Terry only came for like the last 15 minutes, so he didn't annoy me. All good. All good. By the way, Rachel's sister is fabulous.
Okay, wait, question. So what do the guys bring to her house?
I'm going to tell you.
Oh, you are.
Okay. Oh, it's on the list.
Okay.
But I love Rachel's sister. And the reason, I guess I don't really watch the show usually. So I guess they usually don't meet the family until it's the final two.
Yeah.
But they had to do it now because Rachel's sister's very pregnant.
Oh, okay.
And so they wanted to get it in before she had the baby. And then her dad is in on the show. Is her dad a judge, I think?
Yes. I don't think he was on when she was
I don't think
on
so
the
either. I think that's too sketchy for the judge, which
it was.
I completely understand.
Mm-hmm.
So I love her sister. And by the way, pregnant and slaying the fashion.
Really?
Oh.
I love
she
that.
She had on this white blouse with this, I think it looked golden pearl, like a studded collar.
Uh-huh.
Gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
I loved her sister. I loved her mother.
Okay.
Mother, elegant.
Was the brother-in-law there too?
Yeah, they were all there.
They were all there.
Yeah. Sister, brother-in-law, brother, and sister-in-law, right?
Okay.
Yeah, the whole family was there.
Okay.
Oh, I just loved them. So, all right. So the gifts.
Mm-hmm.
The gifts were all good.
Okay.
Which I definitely noticed. There was good. But I did notice she took Peter actually shopping to the store.
Okay.
To get something. And all right. But here, basically, all right, the gifts were all good. The producers did a good job finally with the gifts. So I was happy about the gifts. So there's Peter, Eric, and Brian are left. Now I'm ruining it for you because you haven't
it's
even
okay,
watched
I'll forget
it. But anyway,
dementia. Okay.
I love Peter. But here's the thing. Peter keeps saying, you know, I feel like I'm falling in love with you, but I don't know after this amount of time if I'm ready to get on a knee and propose. Because to me, I only want to propose once. And to me, what he was basically saying is proposal means marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I propose, we're getting married. It's not like I'm going to propose and then we're going to think about it and decide if we're going to get married.
Right.
If I propose, it means we're getting married. And she goes, well, I don't really think of proposal like that. And I feel like she's trying to tell him, Peter, Propose to me and we'll figure it out.
Right.
Lighten up. It's
right.
Okay. But he's really serious about it. And this might get him kicked off. But if you go on Twitter and you kind of look at what people are talking about, they're saying, so you'd rather have someone that's not as good for you because they're willing to give you the ring rather than this guy who could be perfect for you, but he's not ready to do it. She doesn't want to end up with a boyfriend. She wants to end up with a husband.
Okay. But wouldn't you think, playing devil's advocate here, mm-hmm. wouldn't you think if she really wanted to marry him, she would say, I don't want you just to propose and we'll figure it out. I want you to.
She can't say that. It's a TV show. There's two other guys.
Yeah, but you can.
And maybe she really doesn't know.
I feel like that's her way of saying.
I feel like she tried to tell him. To me, she was looking at him going, I think we feel differently about the proposal.
Uh-huh.
What I'm saying is, to me, a proposal.
Okay, but how was she with the other two? Like, did she feel more?
She was great with Eric. She and Eric used the fantasy suite.
They did?
Mm-hmm. I have to say, the thing about Eric is he's lovely.
Is this the guy that lost his mom?
No, he's gone. That was Dean.
Right. He's going to be on Paradise.
Yeah, he's going to be on Bachelor in Paradise.
Right.
No, Eric is from, I can't remember what city he's from, but, you know, his family, you know, there's drugs.
That's the mom that was like incredibly, no.
Yeah, nice mom, nice aunt. I loved his aunt.
Not the mom that was like, I'll kill you.
No.
That's
Brian, the sketchy non-doctor. Yeah.
He's a sketchy non-doctor?
Well, he's a chiropractor. I'm sorry. Don't give
right.
me hate, but to me,
shit.
That's not a medical doctor. It irritates me.
Got it. Okay.
He called himself a chiropractor and a physician.
Ah, okay.
You are not.
Completely different. Yeah.
Okay, so, but I don't like him. There's something about Brian that is just completely.
And you're so good at that.
Sketchy.
He's there for the cameras?
I don't know. It's just disingenuous. I don't like it. And her sister said it to the camera. There's just something about him. I just, like, her BS meter is 100% up. And they all kept firing questions at him and he got uncomfortable and left the room. And Rachel got irritated. Like, what more do you need to know?
But she likes him. But she knows.
I don't know. The problem is they're in a bubble and I don't know if she can see this because having been on reality shows, we all know what's going on, but they don't.
How did he get along with the rest of the guys? Like, is he the guy that everyone's like,
Peter,
we don't
hates
like him?
Uh-huh. Peter hates him. He and Peter are sitting there while she was off with Eric, and Brian's going, well, you know, I just think, you know, this and that. He's talking about the whole thing, and Peter goes, you know, not for nothing, but I don't, you know, I'm dating a girl who has two other boyfriends, and I don't really enjoy sitting around with her other boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
That's normal.
Absolutely.
To me, he's the only normal one. Eric.
Okay.
You know, comes from a broken family and there were drugs and people in jail and he's never been in love before, but he certainly seems ready. Her family loved him.
Yeah.
And they're so cute together. My only thing is, and please forgive me, don't think I'm being a snob because I'm really not. Mm-hmm. Her sister said, I don't know if he's enough to challenge her.
And he's how old?
I can't remember the ages, but
like older or
but he's
same
a personal
age?
Trainer. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I don't know how far he got in school. He's actually, I find him very bright, mm-hmm. but he's not a schooled person and she's an attorney.
Like, will they be able to have like intellectual conversations and will he
right.
be able to stimulate her that way?
Right. And maybe the answer is yes. I actually don't know the answer because truthfully, if he was not smart, I don't think she could have hung out with him for this long. Mm-hmm. And he does seem bright to me, but I'm talking sort of book smart and I don't know.
Gotcha.
But he's very into family and he's very loyal. I love this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Peter. And I think he's normal saying, you know, you want me to commit for life on a television show after this amount of time? I'm falling in love with you. But could we go out not dating these two other guys?
Right.
That's where he's at. This guy, Brian, to me is just sketchy.
So it's now these two for you.
Yeah, but I think she's going to keep Brian. She's always liked him since the beginning.
Really?
And since the beginning, she's been going, I just feel like you're too good to be true.
Oh, no.
So she knows in her gut, but I don't know. Her family is so fabulous. They are just honest. They're like, look, you wanted us to be a part of this and help you and film and do all this stuff.
Yeah.
And so we're going to give you our opinion.
Good for them. Good for them. But I hope she listens to them.
I hope so, too.
Because this is a big decision.
Yeah, she had some good outfits on this.
Yeah.
On this episode, too. She wears a lot of rings, though.
Oh, it's like the pinky ring.
There's a lot of rings. It's like I remember on Housewives, every year I would have like a thing.
Yeah.
My stylist, Samara, she's so fabulous and we work so well together and she shops for me and we put stuff together. And it's great because, and I talk about this, like if you don't have a stylist, you know, go to a department store and get a personal shopper. They're free. Mm-hmm. And it's so good because they'll show you things that you never thought about putting together or you were scared or you don't know how to put together and completely take you out of your box. But every year on Housewives, I would call Samara and be like, okay, well, this year, I really want to wear brooches. And she'd be like, brooches? I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I want brooches. And so all of a sudden, we'd be on the hunt for the brooches and clustering the brooches. It's just so fun to do. Anyway, so she's very into the rings.
Okay. Well, clearly she should be. She's about to get one at the end of the show.
Well, she better take the rest of them off or it's going to get hidden. Let's hope it's big enough to compete.
I know. Well, of course.
I wonder who's doing the ring this year.
I think it's what's his name every time.
Is it Martin Katz?
Yeah.
I love Martin.
Yeah.
Martin and Kelly are the greatest couple. Martin Katz jewelry. Oh my God. He has the best stuff.
Yeah.
Terry, if you're listening. It's never happening. Did you see Spider-Man?
No.
Oh my God. You see
I don't
nothing.
Get out of my hole. I know. I live in a little.
All right. Well, you know, I usually only get to see animated movies with the children.
Right.
Although I did get to see Hidden Figures this year, which was brilliant. Yeah. But I saw Spider-Man Homecoming.
Okay.
Because Garcelle's in it.
Oh, that's right.
Garcelle Beauvais in it. My friend, I love her.
Did she have a big part? I wasn't even
She
sure.
plays the mom of one of the main girls in the show. And she's fabulous.
Is she?
Yeah, she looks gorgeous. So, and she's so cute. I love her so much. So yay, Garcelle. It was awesome. The movie's so good.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a Marvel comic meets what did Chris call it? My brother-in-law, he said it's like, what are those films? The John Hughes films?
Okay.
He said it's like a Spider-Man, he said it's like a Marvel comic meets a John Hughes film. Because it's fun. They're in high school.
Really?
It's like teen angst meets Marvel comics. It's so good.
Say, he looked young. So he is
He's
young.
He's in high school.
Yeah. Okay.
It's so good. And Robert Downey Jr. is amazing. Michael Keaton, unbelievable. I loved it.
I'm going to go watch it.
Loved it. Yeah. And that was the first time I've ever seen a movie and did not have one thing to eat or drink.
You didn't bring any roadies?
Nothing.
Why?
Nothing.
What's wrong?
Not even a sip of water.
Why?
I don't know.
Just not in the mood?
I was just feeling dry.
That's weird.
And no food.
That's weird.
Nothing.
You don't go to a movie and just sit there.
Although
in Europe, that's what they do. But that's,
they do?
Yes.
They don't have
I was
snacks?
In Italy and my sister was like, let's go to a movie. So we go, like, we'll go early. We'll get snacks. There's no concession stand. Like, everyone is just quiet sitting there. No slurping of anything. No opening
really?
Of bags. No, you just sit
there. Is there even a cup
and
holder?
Watch. No. You are like this close. Like, they're in your bubble. But it was so cool. It made the experience that much better. But we were like starving afterwards.
I like a snack. Even in our home theater, I always
have
snacks.
I think we actually may have brought our own stuff, to be honest with you.
I had nothing.
Now. That's so weird.
I just sat there and watched it.
But that means it was good because you enjoyed it.
It was so good.
That's awesome.
Of course, I was passing Coco all of her snacks.
so funny.
I needed snacks.
Yeah, I'm just surprised you didn't take any with you.
I know. You know what? I almost brought something for the house, but I didn't have anything convenient. You know what I really needed was a go-go squeeze.
That would have been good.
That would have been good, actually. Go-go squeeze is awesome. They're totally all natural, 100% fruit with no artificial anything, just fresh apples and other wholesome fruit. It is a good thing to bring for your kids.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, when you're going to the movies, I love bringing something healthy and then letting them have a treat.
Mm-hmm.
So I give them the healthy thing first and then they can have a treat at the movies. And they're good at that. Like, hey, if you eat this go-go squeeze, mm-hmm. then I'll let you have, you know, the popcorn or whatever it is that they want to choose. There are 14 great tasting varieties like apple, apple banana, apple raspberry, lemon twist. But it's not just applesauce. What I love, my favorite ones are the fruit and veggie blends because you can hide them. Mighty mango with apple, mango and butternut squash, or zip and ziggy pear with pears, apples, and carrots. That way they don't even know they're eating vegetables. Tastiness is the number one reason kids will choose a snack. So providing a tasty and healthy option like Go-Go Squeeze is a no-brainer. Go-Go Squeeze comes in a squeezable pouch so kids can enjoy them anytime, anywhere. Coco's so funny. We're in the car the other night. She says, I wish I would write these down because I know I'm going
to
forget them all.
I know. Or just record them.
I don't. No, I can't because she'll go crazy. Oh. But she was so funny. She said, She was like, oh, mommy, I have a bruise. I go, where? She shows me her knee. She's like, oh, I have a bruise and it hurts. When you push it, it hurts. And I go, then don't push it. She goes, but it's so satisfying to push it.
She's going to like pain.
By the way, don't you know
that's
what that...
That's scary.
But do you know what I'm talking? Which
yeah.
Is, I totally got it.
I know.
My God, I started laughing. So, what, you want to be really scared? You know what she's doing at Taekwondo now?
Oh, what?
Nunchucks.
Which is insane because she's actually good at it.
Nunchucks.
Doesn't scare her that she could like completely knock herself out.
No, I bought her a pair. I went online. I bought her some foam nunchucks.
Oh my God, this child.
It's just funny to me how they're all so different.
Completely.
Max is on another playing field. It's funny. You know, I always talk about Nikki and Kat are so young, mm-hmm. and Max and Coco are like on another planet.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Max has this new thing. I don't know if I've told you about this, but Max has this new thing that I call the millennial Greek chorus.
Okay.
So you know the Greek chorus in a thing tells you what's going on. Yeah. They narrate the play. Max does this thing where she speaks in a way where she's narrating what's going on without pronouns. It's almost like a hashtag.
Okay.
So I had like six kids in my car and we were driving them back to Spider-Man so that they could go see the movie. We're in there and they were...
You watched it twice?
No. I dropped them the second time. I watched it the first time. So I was driving them there and I turned up the radio because they were all like talking about really annoying things.
And playing. Like,
I couldn't listen to it anymore. So the radio. And she goes like this, turns up radio.
Oh my God, she didn't.
Oh, she totally does.
So, like, what did you do?
And then Terry's walking. Like, I'm giving you examples. Like, Terry walks around and he sings, Fix Me, Make Me Beautiful. And I go, really? And I go, that is so ridiculous. Stop singing the theme song to Botch. That is so embarrassing for you. And Max walks by and goes, Sing Zone Show.
Is that like the new thing? Because I feel like I want to do that now.
So I tried to do it because I thought I was so funny.
And it was.
No, she didn't think it was funny at all. So I had been to see Spider-Man. I go home. I have the little ones, whatever. And then the older ones, I pick them up. They were at a pre-high school camp.
Okay.
So I pick them up and they've got all these friends with them.
What did you
and
say?
I had to drive all the way back. And Max basically tells me that, like in passing, she was like, by the way, none of these people know who you are.
But she did not.
Yeah, like that. Like, not like, but not mean.
But just like trying to like let
just
you know.
Like, just so you know, mm-hmm. like you're not all that and no one knows you and these kids don't know you and you're like not famous, okay?
So
like that
funny.
Kind of, which is fine. Yeah. I don't care.
Right.
I just want them to have a good time and a lot of these kids are going to go to the high school they're going to go to, so I'm glad they're making friends and I volunteer to pick these 6-7 children up and take them all to the movies, whatever. So we get in the car and we go there. And she had given me the speech a while, basically like to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm scared in the car, right? And I have the chancellor's son in my car. And he's like, so Mrs. Dubrow, you know, yada, yada. I'm
oh
like,
my Lord.
Oh, yes. And I'm trying to be like not cool and not old and not whatever. And we get to the movie theater and all these kids are standing there. And literally the moment we walked in, this woman comes to me, oh, my God, Heather Dubrow, like this, like blah, blah, and wants to take a picture of me. So we take a picture, blah, blah. So I'm nice and I take the picture and I meet her and whatever. She walks away and I just casually sort of pick up my phone and I text Max, takes picture in front of friends.
And what did she say?
She didn't think it was funny at all.
I think it's awesome. Oh, my God, that's so great.
It was so funny. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
But she's so good at it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, like, I've tried to do it and I'll say something and then she says it back to me, but in the right way. Oh, I think she made it up. It's so funny. I call it the Millennial Greek Chorus by Max Dubrow.
It's so good.
So good.
It's so good.
So good. So I had to take Max and Nikki shopping for camp.
Okay.
So now that they've been to sleepaway camp a couple of years in a row, they know what they need, and I don't need to overpack them.
By the way, I used to shop for them.
I know.
And it was you don't know what they need or what they want, what they're going to like.
I had no clue. So I'd give you a list, you'd go shopping,
right.
Or I'd order things online, and then you and I would get together and go, I don't know.
And by the way, that story is insane.
Insane. But what's funny is the first year they went, I remember when they came home, they go, I didn't realize I had all that till the last day when we had to unpack everything. I was like, really? But when Nikki went to Europe with school last year, I think I did it better. And I showed him where everything was. And he had a clear picture. I'm going to do the same thing this year. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I pulled out everything from last year. And then I looked at the camp list. And I took them to REI, the two of them.
Right. Okay. How did that go?
Oh,
well, I feel like now you're giving them options and it's like...
No, it's better because then they own it. You know what I mean? Like you pick it, you own it. So I got them, you know, better camp trunks and all that kind of stuff. But of course, Max wants everything. Nikki wants nothing.
Right.
Yeah, I'll take that. No, I don't need that. Yeah, I'll take that. No, I don't need that. I mean, it's like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
I wanted to kill myself.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they can only go to camp for, what, another 2 years?
Who knows? Maybe this is it.
You think?
I don't know. I have no clue what age they go to. Maybe they want to be CITs. I'm not sure.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
How crazy is that?
I hope they go one more year because I feel like, well, Coco would have gone this year if I would have let her.
I know.
She totally would have gone.
I know.
But I don't think she – she's so young. I don't know. But next year she'd be almost 8 because she's 6. I mean, she'd be like 7 years, 10 months. To me, sounds too young. But the only reason I would let her go if she really wanted to go is because it's only 2 weeks. Nikki goes for 3, but it's only 2 weeks. And if Katarina and Max and Nikki, if it would be the 1 year...
That they could all go.
That they could all go together, I would... I don't care about me. I don't need them gone because I actually like the separation and the alone time with the little ones. But for them to have that experience together, I would love that.
That would be amazing.
But I have no idea.
It's Kat. You got to get Kat to go.
She's never going.
Maybe she can bunk with Coco.
I would have to like... To lie,
totally.
Throw her on a bus, bait and swish. I have no idea what to do.
Funny.
Have you seen Wonder Woman?
No.
I haven't seen Wonder Woman.
Mm-mm.
I'm dying to see it, but I weirdly, you know, I'm obsessed with Wonder Woman.
I know.
I weirdly want to see it at home in the theater.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And be like in your element and sort of take it in the way you,
I just want to be alone and I just want to really watch it. But I read a thing that I loved about Gal Gadot at Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see it kind of, it was all over the internet. She had this really sweet moment with this little girl.
Yes, I did see that. Yes.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
So this little girl came up to her and she was wearing a cape and everything and she started crying and Gal gave her this super sweet moment. And what I've been seeing a lot of lately through the industry, through the entertainment industry, is that these female driven movies matter.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's really important for little girls to have these role models to look up to. But what I found so touching is, having Wonder Woman as a role model is so important. And I love that they're doing that movie. But for me, having Gal Gadot sit there and do that for this little girl is also, to me, even more inspiring that, the movie's great and the character's great, but the person is great.
And that's real life.
Yeah. Because, it's funny because we talk about, making an impression on people and how things go viral and what's important. And for me, person-to-person interaction, that's the most important thing of all.
And I think it's incredible how, for you don't know what the impact you have on other people. And you could be Wonder Woman to somebody else.
Yeah, you don't know.
You don't know. And so I think that it's beautiful when you do connect with the people that look up to you, just like how you look up to somebody else who has no idea.
But that's why I don't like when I see celebrities not being nice to someone.
Exactly.
Max had a period of time. I'm not going to say who the person was, but Max had a period of time where she was very into magic.
Mm-hmm.
We went to see this big show and I paid for a meet and greet. Like I didn't have any special in with them. We just like paid for the seat and so she could meet him and he was not nice to her. It was very like perfunctory, like whatever, here's your picture, I'm done. And I felt like, gosh, that's not cool.
No,
I don't care how many shows you do, you're getting paid to do this thing that you love doing and you're impacting people, and here's this young person who knows, maybe meeting him and being inspired by him would have kept her interest in magic. She was totally turned off after that.
Yeah, that sucks. You know, the thing is, look, everyone has their moments. We're all human beings.
Yeah, totally.
Just like you had your moment with the guy next door, right? Who was
I
wanted to meet you. It's like, you get it. I mean, granted, you were able to, tweet him and say, I'm sorry, I was having a moment, and explain yourself. Maybe this guy couldn't explain to, I had a bad day. But you know, it's I've a part heard this, of your job.
I've heard this about this comedian. We now have a mutual friend, mm-hmm. and I mentioned it to the friend, and the right. friend said, I've heard that a lot.
Yeah.
So you're
it's
right.
It's just a part of
it. Everyone has a bad moment. We're all allowed, yes, and that stinks if someone right. has the bad end of that stick.
Right.
But the truth is that on a day-to-day basis, like, be cool. Take a picture. Say yeah. hi.
Like, you signed up for this. Just be generous.
Be grateful.
Be humble. Be grateful. Exactly.
And try to inspire someone. Anyway, yes. I loved that. Totally. I absolutely love that. So you want to do the beauty tip of the day?
I do?
Yeah.
I am?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. my beauty tip. Can I tell you what I actually do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I have problematic skin. So I make a at-home mask. And it's...
Really?
I do. Because
I barely cook. How do you make an at-home mask?
Stop. You put baking soda.
Mm-hmm.
You can put it in a cup, in your palm, whatever, and squeeze some lime and mix it. And you make almost like a sort of like thick sort of consistency of it. And you put it on any sort. You could either put it on all over your face or you could put it on blemishes. And it completely clears your skin. I'm not even...
that again?
So you put baking soda
uh-huh.
with lime.
That's it?
That's it. And you mix it up so that it becomes a little bit thicker, like uh-huh. a thick mask.
Yeah.
And you just put it on, let it sit for...
Over your whole face?
You could put it on your whole face or you
just
could put it on just an area.
And it's not drying?
It's not drying. And it's almost... So when you wash it off, it's almost like an exfoliant because of the baking soda.
Mm-hmm.
But the lime will give you that sort of glow and... Oh, it's literally
fruit acid
saved.
Peel. That's
yeah,
good.
It saves my skin.
Interesting.
If I'm gonna like go on a date or whatever it is, and I have like a you know fat pimple somewhere, I just put that on, I let it sit while I'm doing my hair, and it literally goes down so much.
Hmm. All right,
like
I like
my
that.
My favorite thing.
All right, for hippest hottest news today, I'm gonna talk about. This is not a sponsored thing, but it's. I was on a plane and I read about this new rate. I don't know if it's a new razor. I think it is. It's called the Chic Quattro U. Have you read this?
I've heard of it.
It's disposable. It looks
yeah.
new. I don't know. The Chic Quattro U, and they say if you use it, you can actually skip a day of shaving. So I shaved with it this morning.
Okay. But you have like no hair. That's not fair.
No, I do.
I have to try
first of
it,
all,
I'm
I cut myself twice.
I have to feel it.
Feel my leg.
Oh my, okay, really?
Does that feel good?
Yeah. What does that feel like to you?
I think it feels okay.
That's better than me on a fresh shave.
Really?
Yes.
They said I just shaved.
What do you put on afterwards?
Nothing. Oh, I put I swear to God, I shave my legs and I have on, can you see the shimmer? I have on Consult Beauty Champagne Lift Body Cream.
Oh, you put the body cream.
Of course. Look.
And
that's what I wear.
What?
Yeah, because it lifts in tones. I'm not a dummy.
You have, but I feel like I can't even see like your hair follicles. Like you don't have thick.
Oh,
thick
I do
hair.
Though. Honey, please.
Me, I shave and then I get cold and literally I have like 3 inches of hair.
Try the razor.
I'm going to try it.
It's good. Chic Quattro U.
I did the Henrys or whatever, or the Harrys.
Those weren't good.
Oh, yeah.
Terry didn't like those.
No.
I
use men razors.
Man razors?
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Women razors are actually made better for women. That's what. No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
They do it on purpose because it's not about being for coarser hair. It's about the way the head moves over your legs.
Right. Because it's more like flexible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I still cut myself twice with this.
You have no hair.
I do.
No, literally.
I'm telling you I have hair.
No.
But I like the razor.
Okay.
I don't know if you can go 2 days because I just... shave for the first time with it, but I'll let you know.
Right.
Sorry, that could be TMI.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I can't believe I have to start thinking about high school applications. It makes me worried about college applications.
Stop.
And it makes me think of preschool applications. That was the most stressful thing ever because you feel like, oh my God, if I don't get in the right preschool, they won't go to the right elementary school, they won't go to the right high school, they won't go to,
yeah.
Even if it's public school, I mean, right. Being in the right zone and knowing where you are and knowing what teachers, it's stressful.
Oh, I can imagine.
So there's this place called Kitty Academy where they really build character and teach kids that they are amazing. It's all right there at Kitty Academy. It starts with their proprietary Life Essentials curriculum, which helps each child make the most of every curious moment. They have caring teachers and they nurture your children every step of the way. So it's not just another day with another, you know, ditto to fill out or whatever. It's an opportunity to be amazing. Kitty Academy Educational Childcare Find out about how Kitty Academy can provide an amazing experience for your child that will last a lifetime. They are now enrolling children from 6 weeks to 12 years old in full-time and before and after care. So let Kitty Academy arrange a personal tour for you. It's so good to go in and see what the facility looks like at kittyacademy.com. That's Kitty, K-I-D-D-I-E, academy.com. Oh my gosh, Jay Moore is here.
I know.
I'm so excited.
He seems like a good time.
Let's find out. Jay Moore coming up next. Happy Earth Month, everybody. I know that every year we write down different goals that we want to accomplish. And maybe one of your goals for 2024 is to shop sustainably. Well, here's some fantastic news. Macy's makes it easy to do just that. This Earth Month, join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. And by the way, who doesn't love going to the park, especially in the spring? Super cute little doggies on leashes, soaking up the sun with your friends or your kids or your little nieces and nephews. Well, check this out. Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project. Their goal is to transform vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help create healthy, livable communities for generations to come. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a huge difference. Donate online or in-store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
Hey, have you heard? Podcast One has a whole bunch of awesome new shows filled with big names that are waiting for you on our brand new amazing app. This one's a game changer. There's Norman Lear talking to Amy Poehler, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Charles Barkley. Geffen Playhouse Unscripted with Bryan Cranston, Josh Gad, and soon Neil Patrick Harris.
Nice.
OC Real Housewife Heather Dubrow's World. Lady Gang's Three Mimosa Podcast with Leah Michelle, Nelly Furtado, Elle King, and more. Plus every episode of The Adam Carolla Show, Dan Patrick, and Rich Eisen. And if you like what happens in the ring, we've got Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, Chael Sonnen, and a whole bunch more. So download our one-of-a-kind new app and see for yourself. Go to the App Store, Google Play, or download it now at podcastone.com.
This is Heather Dubrow's World.
Please welcome Jay Moore. Hey, babe.
Hi, Heather, and hi, Heather, and hi, Natalie.
Hi.
Hello.
What a beauties. What a couple of swells you guys are. And when you walked in, this dress... see, guys like will go like, I like your shirt. And the gal will go like, it's a blouse. It's a blouse. Right. And then we just get a little shorter because it's dumb. But you look terrific. And when
Thank
I saw you.
You
like a month or so ago.
Yeah.
I
didn't look as good?
No, you looked great to the point where like me and my buddy Pete Turner were like going, Heather, like you were wearing wedges. And you, I believe,
and
you
he's straight,
on,
by the way.
You had white, I believe you had on white jeans and a top. I don't remember the top, but I'm like, Heather's like smoking hot. And
you, Jay. Wait, this isn't a joke. You're a comedian.
No, I don't,
is there a punchline to this?
Matters of the heart are not
okay,
really funny in my
I
life.
Love that. Yeah, you got a lot of crap going on right now.
Yeah, but it's only a lot every day.
So that's it. So you can compartmentalize.
No, I I'd like to be able to sleep. That would be great.
But, how do you sleep?
I don't. Well, I used to be the like world class sleeper.
Really?
Like, I was teased for how much I slept. Oh. On the road, they called me the old man because they'd be like, let's go out and get chicks. But like I was the headliner, so I had to get up and do radio.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I'd rather get 8 hours of sleep than be with a stranger any day of the week.
That's so funny.
But that has changed, obviously, now. Because I guess I'm available is the words they use or not.
Single?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going through. It's been a year since I filed for divorce. And the first time I filed was in July. And then the judge said, well, make it work, gavel. You can't argue with a gavel. And that was an awkward drive on the 10.
That's like the worst parental thing ever.
Yeah. And yeah, I have a six-year-old son who's just the greatest, most hilarious guy on earth. And he's just, Look, you're smiling because you're feeling
my
energy.
I love that, yeah.
So we get along and it just takes forever. And at some point you go, oh, I could tell the lawyers that they're going to be fired if this doesn't get, you know, wrapped up, I guess, somehow. I've been divorced before. The common theme is me. I'm aware of that. But people always go like, well, you sure have a type. No, I went with this one because she was the exact opposite of that one. It's like a jack in the box. That's when I meet them.
Oh. But they both have similar names, so I thought that would make it easier.
The same name.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, I'm like, Natalie, oh, that's too bad. You're so close.
If your name was Nikki, you'd be in. What I thought was interesting about you, and I didn't know this, that, and I'm curious, you changed your last name when you married Nikki.
No, I added her, I didn't mean to be contrarian.
Are you being contrarian?
You're wrong. You're wrong.
No, but you like, did you hyphenate?
Jersey, hyphenate. What am I, like a divorced mom at the village school?
No, you know, because what's weird is my sister.
I am Susie Abramowitz Chen. How are you?
My sister's friend, when she got married, the husband took, they made their last names together. And that's like a thing people do in the Latin communities a lot. But mm-hmm. they blend the female and male last name together. And all of his friends were like, pussy.
Yeah, they really, like, it was an internet, like, problem.
Really?
But I took her last name as another middle name, John Ferguson Cox Moore. My family lives in New Jersey, and I don't see them because my father lives in a world of beige and crippling apathy, and my mom's, you know, kind of slipping away, and it's like, you know, her family just swallowed me whole. So what better way to show respect to people that I can see every day that love me entirely than just have my name be John Ferguson Cox Moore?
That's cool. And I think that's cool for your kid, too.
Yeah, I mean, if he's got my driver's license and he's traveling and it matches up, sure. Why is it cool for him? You know what? Let me tell you something. That was like a dick way to speak to you. And it was, I'm going to tell you, the root of it was not being entirely comfortable, but I am comfortable talking about all of it, but it's new.
Yeah, I get it.
So you didn't deserve that little attitude. I don't care.
I like it.
You should care.
You got a little edge to you.
I do, but it's all like, well, we'll talk about all about, I've done so much digging about me, and like, you got to take the high road. I'm so sick and tired of high road. You probably know this more than anybody, being on TV in the capacity you were. It's like, mm-hmm. high road, I want to dig a freaking tunnel and pull people down into the earth. With, like, I'm so tired of like, well, I'll keep my side of the street clean. I want my side of the street to be a mess and fist fight on the yellow line in the middle of the street.
It's tough. It's tough. And it's tough to look, you're not the only person that goes through this stuff. We all know that. We all have issues. We have family things. People get divorced. We have children. That's so hard to navigate all this stuff when you have kids involved, too. And you're in the public eye. People don't get that. And now, I mean, look, you and I started our careers a long time ago before the internet was around. I'm not trying to age us. I'm just saying.
I'm an old man.
You're not old. I'm just saying we were in a different world back then. Back then, we were like happy to get two sentences in People magazine. And now it's like you burp and it's all over the internet.
It is. If you burp, if you burp controversially. And that two sentences in People magazine, you paid a publicist $2,000 to get it. And then you read it.
For a year.
You read it and you go, and did you have this experience? You go, oh, wow, I'm on the cover of Jane magazine. Like, what? Ew.
Right.
Like, I paid. Like, that's not real.
I was on the cover of Walking magazine. Swear to God. Walking magazine. I didn't even walk. Like, what was that?
Can somebody pull up George Carlin's bit about magazines about everything? And wonder, Walking. Look, John, the new Walking's out.
That's me. I was on the cover of Walking. By the way, paid my publicist, $2,000 a month. By the way, and now it's like $6,000 a month.
I wouldn't know. Last time I had a publicist was for a Grammy nomination. I'm like, I deserve it. And I got it. And then Louis C.K. won. I'm like, yeah, he should. He's the best.
Did you ask for a refund?
No, I wanted all I wanted was a nomination.
Oh, yeah.
And I was happy with them and all. But it's like, as a stand-up comic, you go to a town, the comedy club, like, I'll be in Denver August 10th, 11th, 12th. Like, they have it down to a science. I'm going to pick you up at the lobby at 5 a.m. We're going to go to the soccer mom station. Then we're going to the news. We'll go to the hip-hop station. Then we're going to the rock station. And they just do it all. So to hire a publicist to help you publicize comedy is weird. And I was trying to get them up to speed with the podcast. And now you probably know this from getting guests. Publicists don't realize that, like, your podcast – your numbers are doing great. Like, this is a really successful podcast. If you go on Heather's podcast, it's like going on 6 morning drive time radio shows combined, and it's appointment listening. And if Heather goes, you have to go see this person do comedy, your audience goes, all right, let's go. Whereas opposed to the radio, they're like, I don't know, I'm in the car for 4 minutes. What?
Some people,
Natalie, could you let us talk?
Some people are slower to catch on to that, though. Which is the truth.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even, you know, 'cause to convince a publicist, the publicist doesn't want them to come here.
Well, they want them protected, and they don't realize that we do too. Like, I'm not going to make – I want the guests to come back. I'm a narcissist, or as Norman Lear called me, I'm a sufficient narcissist. So I don't want to do anything where the person doesn't speak highly and want to come back into the podcast.
By the way, is he the coolest guy?
I cry around him. Like, I actually cry. Like, we get into these conversations. Yes, he's the coolest guy, but
– I love him.
I'll take it up a notch. He's a holy man.
Yeah.
He's an actual llama, not the animal. That'd be weird.
Like a Dolly.
I said all that like Russell Brand. He's a llama, not the animal. That'd be
like,
weird.
Like more a like Dolly.
The Dolly Llama, who's a man that at 4 years old, monks came to his house and said, choose a toy. He said, forget the toys. Natch that geezer. Let's go to a cave and work on world peace and inner motivation.
Totally. When I left.
Are you real? You're delightful. I'd like to do filthy things with people around you.
I left my interview with Norm, and I called my husband, and I go, I totally get the Anna Nicole Smith thing. I'm in. I get it.
Yes.
If he said yay, I would be leaving you today.
I think you should live with me in Malibu, and we could wonder why hearts get broke. Yes. I would, too.
I would totally do it. I got it. I was so turned on. He's hot.
You
There's something
the bar
about
high.
Him, man.
I'm like, you set the bar high. Like, I'm ready to walk away with Tim Gunn from Project Runway.
Well, I like him, too. I don't know if I'd go home with him, but I like him.
Make it work.
So you have a son and you have a daughter. Two sons?
I have a daddy kink, so if I had a daughter, it'd be disgusting. Like, I discovered that. I was out and about. And it's not pedophilia. It's value. Because for 10 years of a marriage... You sort of get – I talk about this on stage, and everything I say on stage is the truth. I don't.
Okay.
I never do like a bit, and my whole act has already happened to me. So when I write, quote, unquote, write,
right.
I just keep going back in the rearview mirror and opening drawers and trunks and seeing what's in there. So abandonment issues, like crippling loneliness, depression. Why – when do we eat when daddy gets home? Why are we safe? Daddy. Who has the answer? Daddy. Who do I know – can protect me no matter what happens. If a fireball hits this house, where's daddy? So I met somebody at the comedy store, and it was my first time like out of the house. And I said, hey, nice to meet you. And there's like 14 people in this little hallway. By the way, I'm familiar with what I assume, and I'm not an assumption guy. I'm a big four agreements, make no assumptions, but I can analytically think of your demographic audience.
Mm-hmm.
So just hang in there. Because
he's got a point.
I'm not.
Go ahead. We're
like,
getting there.
I'm not a creepy guy. I explain it. And I said, hey, it's nice to meet you. And the girl was a very known actress. And she says, nice.
Are you going to tell us?
I know. I go.
She's a brunette.
She's a little lisp. And she's.
She's a lisp?
Her last name is not Rock. Listen. Look at me, though. There's a story happening in real time here in front of you.
Emma Stone. I got it. Go.
What?
It's like Donna Rock. She had a lisp.
What is it, the Flintstones?
I'm just saying.
It was Stoney Curtis.
I love Stoney Curtis.
I know. He's the best.
Or the Way Outs.
And Marg Rock.
We're going way out.
Oh, we do that for an hour. But I shook her hand, and I said hi. And then this is the first words, Natalie, I said as like a guy that had filed for divorce. Like, there's no ambiguity. Like, this is over.
Yeah.
And then I go, you need a daddy. And in my mind, I'm like,
you need a daddy? That's what you said to her? Emma Stone?
That was my response in my brain and her response. No, stop saying Emma Stone.
I mean, like
her.
Some non-rock person?
And she says, what the fuck did you just say to me? And on stage, I tell this story. I go, and that's where you guys would tap out. Because you're not a daddy. I don't back into my parking spot for no reason.
Oh, my God.
I go, I said, Missy, look at me, okay? Look at me. I said, you need a daddy. And she goes, go on.
And I'm like, I'm in. Go ahead.
I'm like, oh, my God. And then I'm like realizing when I told it on stage, because if something happens to me during the day, I say it on stage in my stand-up. And I go, if I had a daughter, I'd put myself into a loony bin for having. It's not pedophilia. It's value. Like, I don't know. I like somehow survival, I felt like that's, I figured it out. And it's not like a deal breaker. It's not something I need at all. But I had to examine it because I'm like, that's really like gross. And then you go on like a porn site. You go, apparently it's very common. Yikes. Pornography is a thing that's a $1 billion-a-year industry.
Yeah, no, I know what it is.
But you're both looking at me like it comes out of my laptop only. Like I'm the guy that floats $1 billion-a-year.
No, I just wondered if there was an end to that.
Right.
I was just wondering if she like ran away screaming or you had a date with her or it ended up in your room.
Nothing happened and like nothing works. Like none of my parts work. Like I'm just...
That's not true.
This is not Bravo, and I'm not saying that derogatorily to you. Like, I, like, no, they don't. Like, I'm telling you.
You've completely shut down?
It's touch and go. Like, if I decide to touch personally, like, then I realize the sun's coming up, and I go, wow, that was 4 hours. That was not time well spent.
Okay, so this marriage ending has been going on for a while.
A year.
That has to take a toll.
It's unfathomably heavy. It's a load to carry, and it's not the weight, it's how you carry it. And there was a long stretch where I didn't carry it well, and I collect resentments like stickers on it, like a cartoon suitcase, and it becomes my identity.
Mm-hmm.
And then when something really where you've been wronged happens, it doesn't separate itself from all the times you told everybody, like, can you believe that? Can you believe what happened? Then you're like, I mean, it's a marriage. Like, you and Terry, like you guys are in love. Like, you guys are great. You're
it's
great.
Like, how does that happen?
Yeah, but when it happens in slow motion and you...
Did you see it happening?
Yes, so much so. And then it's like being in the Empire State Building elevator and I hit every button for every floor and like, mm-hmm. ping, second floor. You want to step out real quick and just... We could address the one thing
handle
on this floor.
Yeah.
Three, ping. Okay, so now there's two things. And it just... Mm-hmm. No.
But
I love her.
Yeah.
You know, and I wanted to be married to her for the rest of my life. So there's a sadness.
Like a mourning?
Yeah. And I mean, incredibly so, because you get so angry and you have these resentments. And then if you work through them, if you're in a program where the second A stands for anonymous, eventually you go, oh, I'm so sad. And all this anger is like the smoke screen. That covers the fact that, like, this wasn't right. This was not okay. And I did everything I could.
Well, that's the thing. When you look, we call it like in the retrospectoscope. When you look in that.
Who's we? You and.
Me and Terry talk about that. We go, like, okay. In the retrospectoscope, when you look back, do you see you could have done something differently?
No.
Does that help you? Because that helps me.
Yes, very much.
Okay. Because I feel like when something has happened and I look in the retrospectoscope and I go, I did everything I could. I left it all on the table.
I did not know. There is a well beneath the well. And I'm a wrestler. I wrestled in high school and college. So I've tapped that well and I drank from it. There's a well beneath the well, that very few people get to.
Mm-hmm.
I drained it. And I know my value. I know my endurance, stamina. I know how much love means to me. I know how hard I'll work to keep a union together. But... When you dance alone, you're dancing alone.
Yeah.
And then, I learned, like, if nobody else knows, I don't care, but I know this is what it meant to me, this is how long I went, this is how long I tried every day.
For me, I think that would be the hardest, because I know being on reality TV, it's so hard because you don't control your narrative. And when someone else is involved and your ex is famous and, you know, you both have sort of a forum to put stories out there or whatever, that's got to be so difficult that you can't control it.
Yeah. I was listening to the Art of Charm podcast, and the Podcast One app, by the way, is fantastic, and I encourage everybody to go get it.
Oh, yeah, it's really good.
I listened to your podcast when I knew I was coming on and just stacked those up. I made my own playlist. I listened to the Art of Charm. I love Dave. He does, like, all the ghost stuff. I like that.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
He's a sweet guy, a good friend, too. And when I was listening to The Art of Charm, and this lady came on and talked about the narcissist continuum. When you're in a relationship, if somebody's, and I'm not saying my ex is a narcissist, but it's, you can always tell who the codependent is in a relationship because they're in the self-help aisle in the bookstore.
Oh my gosh.
That is interesting.
You come home and you really devour it and you make highlights and stuff and you better yourself. And then the narcissist either gets farther away because they see the improvements, or they double down on something oddly aggressive because they don't like that you've improved. So if the relationship is, Heather, I'm only happy if I'm pleasing you, and Heather, you're only happy if I'm pleasing you, that works for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, I need something back.
Yeah.
And then it's like excavating, like a construction site, like dirt leaving.
There's some people that like to be with damaged people. They feel like they feel powerful that way. It's funny because, honestly, through Terry and some patient issues, I learned that sometimes when people better themselves physically, I'll just talk about the physical transformation, it causes problems.
Yes. I was told to stop. Like, I used to go down to Will Rogers Beach and run every morning at a radio show, and I'd go down there about 7 a.m., 6:30 a.m.
So you got shredded.
Yeah. I mean, it just, you know, it's a 33-minute run, barefoot in the sand. I could see dolphins every morning. It was like, why are you doing that? Why are you running in the garage? Like, everything's, why? Why are you in the bathroom so long? Because I don't know how to wipe my ass properly, and I don't understand it either, okay? I'm having sex with all your friends right behind that door. I don't know what to tell you. But women, I notice, and I do this in my stand-up, there is a way a woman will speak to a guy, and I think it's a self-defense mechanism, where you, it's not belittling, that's too strong a word, but it's, hey, what took so long when you're at the grocery store? And it's like, if you take an axe to a tree as hard as you can, it just makes like barely a line. But if you keep going, the tree falls. So it's, why are you in the bathroom so long? Like, I don't know. Like, really? I don't know.
You were chipping just, away.
You were right outside the door like that. Like, I'm, what I'm doing there is disgusting.
So how do you get to a balanced
place? You're
going to
go do your little podcast? Like the word little.
Little.
Like kak-kak.
Oh.
What are you watching? I'm watching, you know, Dr. 90210 again? Bang. Like, yeah, again. What? Like, you're watching Vanderpump Rules alone in a different part of the house and I can't talk. And the big one is the job, I noticed. Like, you're going to go do – wait, we want to have lunch with Michelle. Are you doing a little comedy show that night? It's like, well, yeah, the Majestic Theater in San Antonio, if you want
to – if you want to call that little.
Yeah. I can call it little because it's mine, but
– was she having career issues at the time?
I'm not going to speak on
it. Oh, yeah. Okay.
I know this. She's brilliant. She's the best actress I've ever worked with.
I know she is. She's a great actress.
I know she's never had any plastic surgery because I would have had to driven her. She doesn't drive. And I've seen the photos myself, and it does look weird, but I can just tell you, Christ is my Lord and Savior. Take my son's eyes and mine. If I'm lying, she never did. And that was a real rough time. And she's the first civilian I ever met that I wanted to be as funny as. And, like, my last stand-up special, Happy and a Lot, she wrote it. She, like, there's only three bits in the whole special. It's similar hates, like, a couple. You don't have to have a lot of things in common. You don't have to have similar interests to be successfully a couple. You have to have similar hates. The couple that hates together loves together. And then that goes for a long time. Then Dateline ID and all those murder shows with Keith Morrison.
Yeah, yeah.
In a small town, something was brewing at the local Waffle House, but it wasn't the coffee. What was brewing was murder. And then irony. I have no irony in my body. If I'm wearing a Hello Kitty t-shirt, it's because I love the out of Hello Kitty. So when I see you at Starbucks wearing a Journey t-shirt, I go, that's a great shirt. And you laugh and go, I know, right? I go, hold on a second, Chad. Do you realize there's a young Filipino man pretending he's the lead singer of Journey?
Right.
And we don't care. That's how great Journey is. We'll take 3 out of 4.
We'll totally do it.
Give me the shirt off your back. You don't deserve it. Nice Neil Diamond tour jacket. I know, right? Why are you smiling? Give it up.
He's brilliant.
So those were all her ideas. And like the Dateline shows, if you get murdered, it's always a white lady. It's always the husband. She's always named Patty. It's always Patty. And then the friends come in. If you want people to say nice things about you after you die, get murdered by your husband on Dateline, because they always say two things. Patty, she was one of these ladies. She just lit up a room. And you're at home going, I just saw her wedding video. Patty with the crunchy bangs and the crooked tooth.
She's like not lighting up anything.
No, she's like a six tops. You know who lights up a room? Cindy Crawford, alive. Heather Dubrow, you light up a room, alive. The Dalai Lama lights up a room.
Lights up a room.
He lights up a room like he swallowed Christmas lights. He's alive.
You know who else lights up a room? Leah Remini. I love that girl.
Yeah, she does. Yeah.
She's one of those chicks, when you meet her, you just know she's good egg.
Uh-huh.
Love her. And I love how brave she is. And I'm thrilled that her A&E show, Scientology and the Aftermath, has been nominated for an Emmy. And it's coming back for season 2, August 15th.
Wow.
Yeah, they have 10 new episodes. Leah Remini, Scientology, and the Aftermath. So if you don't know about the show, it follows Leah along with high-level former Scientology executives and church members, and they really delve deep into the shocking stories of abuse and harassment that these people who have left the church experience. It's scary. And this season, Leah Remini continues her quest to give a voice to the victims of the Church of Scientology. It's also exploring accounts of former members whose lives have been significantly impacted by the church's practices. What I love about it is that Leah is really helping people. She's helping them take action, and she's turning survivors into fighters. You can catch up on the first season, if you haven't seen it, through On Demand and the A&E app. So check out season 2 of Leah Remini, Scientology and the Aftermath, on August 15th on the A&E network. So tell me this, how do you come out of this? What have you learned from all this?
I've learned the old expression of, you know, what people say behind your back's none of your business. And I exhausted myself. I'm a reaction addict.
Oh, then I can I just tell you something?
You please interrupt me whenever you want, because I take control and I dominate your conversation.
No, I love listening to you, but this is what
I love being dominated. I'm like, wait a minute.
I'll get my whip. This is how Terry and I roll. Shoot the messenger.
That's no good.
No, you do. You shoot the messenger, because I'm going to tell you something. You're reactive. And I, in my life, have had moments where I've been reactive. And it's not good to be reactive. It's not good for you, and it's not good for your situation. Not you, meaning one.
Responsive. You want to be, right?
No, what you want to do is it's like when you're mad and you write an email, you don't send it. You send it to yourself and, like, sleep on it and send it the next day. You can't be reactive, because it's never going to be right. So what I say is I shoot the messenger, because if I don't know about it and it's not in my world, it doesn't exist. So if you tell me about it and you put it in my world, now I'm going to be reactive.
Why were you so comfortable bringing me bad news?
Right. Why do you want me to know that? Oh, I'm just the messenger. You know what? F you. You're the one that wants me to feel bad.
Potty mouth. It doesn't make you look any. You're not more mature. You don't look any older when you curse and smoke. Come on.
Really?
Put out the cigarettes.
All right. Hold on.
But like, if somebody's at, I meant messenger. You're right, by the way. Let's get that established. And if you're at like a parking lot and the guy goes, if you don't have a ticket, I just have to charge you full price. And people lose their shit. Like,
oh, yeah.
You Russian asshole. How the? It's like, hey, that guy got hired and they told him no matter what happens, no ticket, full price,
right,
or you're fired and you go back to St. Peter's. He's the messenger. That's what I meant by it.
Oh, yeah.
The messenger.
Oh, that's different.
I know. Oh, my God. I think you're going to meet Oswaldo today. Oh, my God, Natalie, why are you so thirsty? So, yeah, people love to tell you bad news. They love it. And especially on, like, Twitter, on Instagram.
How do you handle the social media?
It takes a very long time. It takes embarrassingly long to just not respond.
You have to learn how to take your finger and scroll, like, just zoom through them.
People think I'm having meltdowns, but it's like when I engage, I choose when to engage, and I'll do it for 2 straight days. Like, I wrote an article for my friend David Smalley, who's on the Podcast One app, Dogma Debate, like a letter to atheists. It was like the most, like, hey, we're all cool, kind, this. And I was just eviscerated, like, as this, like, complete lunatic asshole. And I was like, wow. So that one I sat out because I had 2 previous. Like, I'm talking to Richard Dawkins on Twitter, and Morgan Murphy, the comedian, goes, my children 30 years from now, what was Twitter? It was a place Richard Dawkins and Jay Moore could argue. And I'm like, that's perfect. So if I go round and round with somebody on Twitter for a long time, it's because I'm going to the bathroom for a very long time, and I choose
And
to.
Clearly you spend a lot of time in the bathroom.
Kakush, what took so long? Hey, how come you didn't get, when you went grocery shopping, you didn't get everything? Yes, I did. You didn't get my dry shampoo, because I don't know what the dry shampoo is, okay? They don't have it at Gelson's dry shampoo, because I asked 2
the way,
people there.
They might.
They don't, because I ask a worker, because I know what I'm going to go home to. You know what fascinates me? Women, like tonight, both of you, Natalie, darling, it's Russell.
Darling.
Like, you'll get ready for bed tonight. Like, you guys are going to get ready for bed. Mm-hmm. Like, you get ready for a prize fight. You get, like, Michael Phelps had to get ready to, like,
with
swim.
The shark. Are we going to talk about the shark?
The fake shark.
I'm sorry. It's a fake shark, and he lost.
Yes. Well, he swims 4 miles an hour, and that shark swims 20 miles an hour.
Why was this ever a good idea, and why was there no real shark? The whole point was we wanted to see if he would eat him.
Yes, and I had the perfect answer on there's a link. I do a daily sports pod, and it's only like 15 minutes, and I do it on my phone in a voice record app, and I send it over here to podcast.
Seriously?
And could talk about sports and be able to curse? Oh, my
Best
God.
Thing ever. Are you and Joe Rogan friends?
I saw him last night. Like, yeah, friend Lee. Like, we're not hanging out.
Because I just find it funny that you're both comedians. You love sports, and he does his UFC thing. You
He's
do your sports.
He's the best at his job announcing the fights of anybody at their job. He's the single greatest sports announcer I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I like him too.
His face looks like a ransom note. I was like, wow. Because the guy's face is
What show was he on? Was he on Veronica's Closet? Christy Alley? No?
Maybe,
Dan Cortez?
But it was the Office one with Andy Dick and Phil Hartman.
No, that one. Yeah, what was that?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Could we go back to how we're getting ready for bed, like we're going for a prize fight? Because I'd like to hear about that.
Yeah, like you guys, this is what women do. They go, and I am generalizing, but it's true. Like, okay, I'm going to go get ready for bed. And guys, like we instinctively in the beginning of the relationship, like we put stuff away like, oh, time for bed. Like, let's go lay down.
Okay.
Now, you're like 40 minutes from pajamas still. Like, you guys go in the bathroom, you close the door, you lock it, you turn off one of the lights so we can't see where your feet are between the crack of the bottom of the door and the floor. You leave the water running. It sounds like the pit crew at the Indy 500 is in there with you, like, you're like, there's Italian guys in there somehow. And then this is what you don't know.
Okay.
Heather and Natalie, when you come out of there 15, 20 minutes later, you look exactly the same. There is nothing on you that we go, oh.
There it is.
An eyelash that we never even know you had on, but your girlfriends know, because that's who you're dressing for. It's like a director.
Terry always says that.
It's like a director of photography. We'll spend all day manipulating. It's like nobody notices except
but
other
you.
Director
yes,
of photography.
Totally.
So, or maybe you have an oatmeal scrub and you do it just like the commercial. And when you dry your face, I've learned you pat, you never wipe. And then you come out,
it's good.
And there's like a costume change. Like, you're still not in what you're going to sleep in, but there's been a costume change. You're in sweatpants.
That's right.
A t-shirt. Yeah. When I was an all-state free safety in New Jersey, my t-shirt, my varsity t-shirt for Verona football with my number 37 on it has been cut up so you can make headbands so your hair's out of your eyes for your oatmeal scrub. I'm like, that was my favorite shirt. She goes, it's just a shirt. The axe to the tree.
Ouch.
But you're still not ready for bed because the nightstand has to be in. It's like a sidecar. It has to be completely ready for bed also.
And what happens on the nightstand?
Glass of water, the phone, the alarm. You got to make sure some people are on Do Not Disturb, some people are not, because somebody might call you with gossip, not you, gossip that you might want to chime in on.
I didn't even know people did that. Do you do that?
Chapstick, like chapstick on the nightstand. Like,
no,
you, God forbid.
I only have the water and the phone.
I have none of that.
Chapstick in case you have a nightmare about the desert and you get to go, oh my God. And you that was close. Thank God this has SPF. You have no idea. And guys don't know what that's like, and women don't know what it's like to be a guy. We're very simple. We lay down in the bed, and sleep happens. That's it. We don't prepare. We wake up 14 hours later, and right next to the bed, in the exact order we took them off, shoes, socks, pants.
And you put them back on.
T-shirt. Yeah, we get right back into those clothes.
Oh, totally.
So I'll save everybody another step. Why don't you pick up your clothes? We're not done with them. I've had these jeans on since I flew back from San Francisco Sunday.
Oh, I know.
They don't get dirty.
I have a husband and a son. I understand how this works. My son, I'm packing him for a sleepaway camp. He and his sister are leaving in a couple weeks. And I have everything laid out. He goes, why so much stuff? I go, you're right. So I put one, as a joke, I put one pair of shorts, one pair of underwear, one pair of socks. I go, is it too much? But here's the thing about nighttime. The thing
you're
about
a great
nighttime.
Mom. And that doesn't,
thank you.
People don't realize that. It's like the chaos of a show like that. It comes through, and I wanted to tell you that.
Oh,
I've been meaning
you.
To tell you that last time, but there was like a lot of traffic.
Oh, thanks. No, I love
Natalie,
my kids.
Natalie, do you...
She's single.
Do you get to...
Oh, I thought you were going to ask if she had
a kid. Do you need a daddy?
No, but this is what I was going to say about the nighttime routine, is that you have to understand that there's certain things, like I always say the secret to Terry and I being together 21 years is that we have separate bathrooms. I think it's important. Natalie agrees because I remember she was going away with a guy,
yep.
A boy.
Or there has to be a boy potty.
There has to be a boy potty.
Yep.
There's things you don't need to see or hear or smell. They just don't. I said to Natalie when she was going away with someone and I go, so if you have to go to the bathroom, she goes, oh, well, I run an errand. Like, oh, I need something from the
downstairs.
Gift shop downstairs.
Yeah. Yes.
That's what you got to do. You got to keep the mystery.
Exactly.
I'd rather have two potties than two. I was with my friend Logan Lynn. He's a musician in Portland, and he runs Mental Health Matters and Keep Oregon Well. like wonderfully gay. Like if I had a gay son, I'd want him to be like so gay. I want other gay kids.
I wanted a gay son so bad.
I did too.
I pushed for it. I keep asking, but he's not. I'm like, I got three girls in you. I don't want another girl. You're don't like, bring a girl home. Bring a boy.
You're like, just try it.
I said, it's okay. It's cool. Your uncle's gay. We're good. We're so, very gay friendly. He keeps going, stop saying that.
But I know why you say it, because you'd be so happy that he was yours and not somebody that was going to beat the queer out of him or go, what did I do wrong? You would just go, let's get going on making you the most comfortable and the gayest so that other gay people
so happy.
Could look at you like a beacon on a hill, like follow the guy on roller skates, listening to Rufus Wainwright covered in glitter with the abs.
He knows
what I should be doing.
Did you see Liev Schreiber's son?
No.
At Comic-Con was dressed as what's the character?
Your son. He was dressed as your son.
He was dressed as my son. No, he was dressed as that character. Oh, crap. Heather, what's that?
The girl from...
With
the rainbow.
Harley Quinn.
So Liev Schreiber takes his two sons to Comic-Con, and one of his boys is dressed as Harley Quinn with the full, like, mesh tights and ponytails, and it totally goes viral. I love his son. I love him. I just thought that was the coolest thing ever.
Do we have a photo of this?
Can you pull up a photo?
I am in the corner.
I'm technologically backwards.
No, that's... Yeah. Hold on a second.
I am.
I'm an intuitive, and I do readings, and I'm not wrong. You're not.
I am. I went from the rotary dial to the iPhone. I know nothing.
No, nobody has two phones. That's technologically.
I have one. That's one.
What's that one?
Oh, that's a charging thing.
Oh, I thought you said...
I believe in power.
So you and Terry...
Yes.
When you guys first came on the show, I was dubious, and shame on me. Because I thought Terry was gay, and I thought...
Yeah, not gay.
Obviously, and he's strong like bull. Like, I got to make test tube babies. This guy's just like...
We had test tube babies. We had three test tubes and one au naturel.
Oh, that's right.
Who knew
you? Went through the hell.
By the way, who knew you had sex to have a child? It's the weirdest concept.
Yeah, if I had known I was azoospermic or whatever they call it,
Are both yours test tube babies?
Yeah, and that's weird. When you go to a doctor's office, at 8 in the morning and they hand you a NyQuil cup with your name on it and social security number and
totally.
They go, and there there's some go. Movies in there to help you.
The Velvet Couch.
They're all gay movies. They're all gay. It's like Assassins, Dune Buddies.
And I'm really? Like,
yeah, so I watched Dune Buddies. And
well, it apparently worked out. So.
Yeah.
How old are your boys?
6 and 14.
6 and 14.
Worst age difference ever. There's nothing you can do with them at the same time.
Well, I know, because I have my twins are 13 and a half, and then I have a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old.
The twins are the same age?
Yeah, yes, they are. And they don't look alike. One's a boy, one's a girl. They're
well,
not
thank
identical.
Goodness. That would be weird.
But people always say, are they identical? I'm like, no, one has a penis.
Ray Romano has the best joke about that. And he goes like, they're not identical twins, thank God, because if you walk into a party and you're ugly, people don't really notice. But if that exact ugliness... walks into the party like 2 seconds after you. Oh, I didn't even know you were that ugly until the exact ugly came in next. I was almost Ray Romano or maybe Barney from The Simpsons.
Natalie, I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thank you. I don't even know what I have to say, but I just thank you.
You're going
to
say why?
Yes, but I when you say that, I just get excited.
No.
Whatever it is, thank you.
I'm proud of you. Do I not say that enough?
No, you do.
Okay, but I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for so many things, but I'm so proud that you finally got in touch with Geico.com and got a reduction in your car insurance.
Right? I mean, you were telling me every week, so I just figured I would probably.
Well, it took a long time for you to get on the bandwagon. And if you're listening out there, do not do what Natalie did. We calculated it last time, and I think she could have saved $1,200.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. That's money for tuition. That's money for books for school, back to school clothes, a pair of shoes for yourself. So many things.
Night out.
Geico, yeah. GEICO.com. In 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. It's the easiest thing you could possibly do. Go to Geico.com. I have a brief history in stand-up, really small. And I was a huge fan of your show.
Which, I hate to say this, it's which show?
Last Comic Standing.
Oh, thank you. I love that show.
But I'm curious, because I know Peter Engel, great guy.
Peter Engel, so I said to her, maybe you shouldn't weigh so much. I love Peter.
Peter and I met through mutual friends years ago at a dinner party. And I just think he's a great guy. And he's been on my show. And I really like him.
He was on this show?
Yeah. And he's a great guy. And so, but you created that show.
Yeah.
So, how did you make that happen? That was huge.
When people would ask me who my favorite comics were, I was naming people they didn't know. Over and over, like George Carlin. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, Dennis Miller's Off-White album was the number one nothing influenced me more than that. By the way, as far as album titles, to go from the Beatles' White Album and call your the Off-White album, amazing. And then I'd go Dave Attell, Brian Regan, before Dave Chappelle popped, like Dave Chappelle. And people are like, no. I'm like, there's got to be a way for these guys to be on TV because they're better than anybody that they think they know. So I go, well, you just do like American Idol for comedy, but if I put them in a house and they get on each other's nerves, like the real world, because the guys I know, I'm from the East Coast, I'm from New Jersey. Hey, I'm from New Jersey, right? So, avant-garde. What do you need a room? Johnny Ramada, call me. For real, Natalie. It's all right. Don't listen to
Chad. That was my first roommate in college. I always say, because she's from New Jersey, my name is Jill. I live down the hall. If you need anything, come over.
And she would always tell you she's from Jersey. That's what they
always
do. It's like if you have a friend and you're not sure if
I'm from
Jewish,
Westchester, New York.
Westchester. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of fishing up there.
Fishing in Westchester?
I just made that up to
okay,
get that response.
There's no water.
therein lies the humor.
There you go.
If you have a friend and you're not sure if they're Jewish, they're not. Because they will remind you, like Jersey people, they'll go like, so we went out on Michael's boat and I sat in the front next, well, I had my life vest on and I sat in the, well, I'm a Jew. And you're like, that doesn't even make sense in my head.
Like, why are we throwing that in? Because we Jewish people like to make connections. That's why.
But you're
we
telling
a
Catholic,
feel like we're
you're
MOT.
Jewish.
But you might have Jewishness in you and we need to know.
I stand with Israel and I'm circumcised, so I think that makes me a member of the tribe.
All of a sudden, we're MOT.
Oh, I brought my own bag.
It's beshared.
I brought my own bag to Gelson's. Jewish, and you're like, I don't like, hold on, seating arrangements at sea, daughter of Zion, this doesn't, I'm not tracking this in my head. So I don't even know what I was talking about. It was specific. Oh, so last comic standing. I wanted them in the house, and the comics I know from the East Coast are vicious, but lovingly vicious, how the Friars used to be. Mm-hmm. And we will sit on a stoop until the sun comes up, destroying each other. And you can never put it on TV because it's white, black, white, black, white, black, white, black. And that was the show. NBC and I came to a meeting and a discussion through a third party. And they said, well, yeah, let's do it. And I wrote up the treatment and I brought it in. And Jeff Gaspin was the head of NBC Primetime. And they bought the show. And it was amazing to be an executive producer and to know for the first time, I'm not by title only. Like, I am the only executive producer that can go, Jeff, that's the stupidest idea you've ever said. And I'll tell you why. Because they'll all get fired.
Right.
Like, I don't give a shit. Like, it's my show. So, like, when somebody gets voted out, like, let's bring them back. It's like, that's not fair. They weren't funny enough, you know. And
did they have – I was always curious about this. So they had to come up with this new stuff every week, new material. But in truth, was it like their arsenal of material that
of
they
course.
Chopped up into like 100 pieces?
The biggest misconception is that we were looking for the greatest, like brand new, I just started comedy person on earth. It's like comedian, period.
Right.
And some people were – Rich Voss, hilarious, East Coast, owns New Jersey, you know. He's the guy that just made like Dat Fan cry when they made that. They played hide and seek in the house, and they didn't look for Dat Fan. And we had a clock, 55 minutes. He's under a curtain in a theater room, and then he comes down. They forgot they were playing. Like the joke was over for them, and Dat Fan comes downstairs and goes, "I'm never playing hide and seek with you guys again." I'm like, that's the funniest, and he won because people felt bad
for him. I remember.
But like Rich Voss, Ralphie May was a monster.
Oh, yeah,
like,
Ralphie May.
He's a first-round draft pick comedian. So, yeah, they had an arsenal, I would hope. And I loved, like, I know I'm funnier than Natalie. Like, instead of...
Yeah,
because I had to figure out a way for their... Peter Engel, there has to be a quantitative equation where someone is the winner without ambiguity. And it was one of the greatest experiences of my life because I had to create 7 minutes of new material that was clean every week. Like, that was my assignment for myself.
Right, for the opening.
Yeah, instead of doing like my act, I went, well, why don't you just do like, you know, you have your own writer's room in your head and do it. And I loved it. I loved it.
Why no late night talk show for you?
I don't want 2 weeks vacation. I can't go to work every day. I can't. I said last night at the Comedy Store to the audience, I go, you guys have jobs you go to every day that you hate. Like you drive to work and there's a part of that drive where eventually you think to yourself, I hate my job. I get shit pains right here every day. I'm gonna take a shit in the fish tank in the lot. I fucking hate this place. Human resources lady's got the biggest boobs in the building. She's eating a fucking banana. Fuck, I hate my job. Hi guys, how are you? Good to be here. I said to them last night, I go, I have no idea what that feeling is like. I have never had that feeling of dread going to a job. I don't think, well.
Have you ever had a bad job when you were coming up in the comedy ranks?
Yes, but there's an expiration date. You go
because
to
you
it,
knew.
It sucks, you're done.
Okay.
It's not like I'm in a 9-to-5 and I just keep plugging along and maybe I'll get a gold watch in 4 years. So if I was at a gig, Cold Lake, Alberta for 4 days on an Indian reservation was the most depressing thing ever, where I'm looking out at the Cold Lake and I'm going, I could just swim and keep swimming. And then I won't make
not
it back.
Not a good gig. No return.
And it was in like an ice – it was like an ice hockey rink and it was packed. But then when it was over, I couldn't believe how quickly the town was empty because it was all natives, that indigenous people that went back to their land. And the realization that that's theirs, their land. Federal law doesn't – like in the States when you play a casino here, that's like a Snoqualmie tribe. They go away and they go back to their land, which is not, you know, federal laws. Not they run it. And you go, wait, this is not okay. I mean, then you get a check and you go, it's fine.
It's okay.
You know what they do at Indian casinos? They come down and they go with a briefcase. Let's say you, like some really lucky guys will make like 30 grand for like a casino.
Okay.
And they'll go like, they'll open a suitcase when you're done. They go, so how much of your money do you want cash? And most comics will just go like,
the whole thing.
And I have an envelope with a stamp with my business manager's address on it. And I go, you can actually write me a check and just put it right here and I'll mail it on my way to the airport. And they're like, no, but because they want you to go out to the casino floor and give it back.
Oh, I didn't think of that. Smart. I thought that was like a hide your tax money
tax,
thing.
Right.
No, you can't hide it.
They just want you to.
It's
you can't
amazing.
Hide anything anymore.
No. Well,
it's all out there.
I hide a lot of things from, but it's mostly the blue bird in my heart.
Don't say that. Don't you think you're going to fall in love again?
I know. I fall in love every day. I mean, I fall in love too easily.
What are you going to do differently next time? Can we meet her next time before you get married?
Oh, to vet her?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great.
Totally. Let's do a show dating Jay.
Yeah, but I don't want to, I don't want the show to be like choosing who I date and then reporting back. Or maybe it should. Yes.
It would be good.
Yes. But I don't want Patty Stanger to do it.
No, I said we would do it. Me and Natalie.
Yeah.
Do you
We're
know her?
We're going to choose. I've met Patty.
Is she? I mean, it's like they're pretty aggressive.
Oh, I don't. She's intense. Yeah. But
like, this is
but
the best gets, match for you. I'm
but
like,
she gets
she has
the job
eye.
Done.
Does she?
She has one eye, but maybe you only needed
no,
one.
She doesn't really
Maybe
have
you
one.
Don't look good from the other side. Look.
You know, you got to stop worrying about, you know, but those guys are like out
it
of
depends
their
on who the person yeah. is. My 10-year-old daughter, she's so sweet. Like, so, the new kid comes into school and is like literally one eyeball hanging out of her face. And my kid goes, oh my God, hi, it's so great to meet you. Come sit at my table. It's like she Aww. Doesn't see any of that. Some people, you know.
But that's you. That's the.
That's not me. I'd be like, what's up with the eye?
But that's
what's going
the type
on?
Of mom you are that I was saying earlier that I picked up on the
show. No, no. Yeah.
No, no, no.
That's very sweet of you, but I do
you
believe.
You are not allowed to take good off the scoreboard. It
well,
happened.
Thank you.
It's not. Hold
thank
on.
You.
You're going to listen to this because
okay.
this is when I do like life coach stuff and intuition.
Okay, I'm ready.
Intuition.
Go.
The people will always negotiate away from the good and their value. You are the one that would go, hey, hi, whatever, with the eyeball. But you knew that's not the way to behave. And you put in boundaries and, you know, railroad systems and stuff yes. where it never occurs to your daughter that's even an option.
Yeah.
It's a complete foreign language to your daughter. That's you. You've done that.
Thank you.
You understand that?
Yes, I do understand that. But what's funny is what you're saying is so true. It's like no one can take a compliment when someone goes, oh, I like your breasts. This, it's so old. Or, oh, I like your shoes. Oh, I found them in the garbage can and I pulled them up. But none of us are good at taking the good stuff. I think it's so much easier to listen to bad stuff, which is so wrong. So thank you.
It's poison.
For your compliment. And I want you to come back.
Oh, we're done here?
Yeah, we're done.
You can be. I was going to give Natalie a live reading.
Oh, no, give her a live reading. She needs it.
Wait, what are you scribbling?
Wait, no, do it. No,
he's,
do it first.
Tyler Henry. What?
Oh, no, he speaks to the but yeah, I know. You do have a woman energy around you all the time.
By the way, I love Tyler. No, do a reading. Do a reading.
A lot of orange. Oh, do you see orange?
I've got 5 minutes.
Said
do
I was
a reading.
Pink. Remember that? Well,
she needs it.
This is what I do. Okay. Is more stories, 3737@gmail.com. And a lot of people have been emailing me, but it's not for free. It's, you know.
You got to pay for it. Ancillary.
I say to the person, like, I feel blank. Like, that rock in your shoe, that ache that you've had, like, for so long. I feel blank, and it's a one-word emotion only.
Okay.
One word only here. And then because, and you can write as long as you wish. Okay. However, I must warn you, no one gets this sentence right. Nobody, because as much as you want to be open.
Is there a right answer to this?
Well, that's what I find.
Well, don't give her a hint. Let her write it.
No,
am I telling you really how I feel or what it should?
I don't. It's probably not for air or it could be for air and I just won't repeat it.
Okay.
But you have something that's like jumping out of you.
It's not something in this. Say it for real. Say it for real.
Yeah.
It's not something in this moment. It's something that's tracked like for a very long time.
So this is like a deep thing, like a deep rooted.
And what I do
it's not like I feel drunk.
Right.
I feel tingly.
Very vulnerable right now.
Because my phone's on vibrate and it's at an odd angle in my pocket.
Okay, you write that.
Okay.
Well, you write that while Jay and I talk.
There's five yes or no questions I ask. And that's so like nobody can go like, you got steered that way because of the answer, because that's what fake psychics will do. And there's no such thing as a psychic.
When did you realize you had that kind of intuition?
I just made it up just now.
Oh, I like that.
I'm just trying to
No,
get,
really. When did you?
My whole life, I've been a time traveler. I've known that. I've known I've been here before. My deja vu is stuff that I've dreamt. And I'm like, wow, I dreamt this conversation a year ago. Like I don't know who you are in my dream, like back then. And it would be a little snippet of completely inconsequential. And that's my deja vu. But you have it too. Like, you have a great intuition.
But I don't have that. I think, you know what I am good at, though? When I have a feeling about someone and it's supremely negative, I'm always right. Now, I can like someone and not see the bad. That's happened to me a lot. Not a lot, but there's been moments where I put a lot into someone and then I later realized they were not an appropriate person for me. But when I have a bad feeling about someone, I have always been right.
I'm going to tell you something, because your guard just went. It's like, whoosh, the walls go up and down. Mm-hmm. And then if you get somebody open up, just that they're comfortable enough. And I need to tell Natalie this. I'll be the only person that ever sees what you write.
Yeah.
I will never, like, I cherish that.
She's going to tell me.
That's up to her. But this isn't like a parlor trick. It's not a gag. If you're very brave, I will never sell you. If I ever say the word trauma, it just means trauma. Mm-hmm. There's no.
Can I take a selfie to send to Terry?
Yeah. Should I take my shirt off?
No, wait, did.
Yeah. You want me to do it for real? Because that's funny.
Yeah.
Okay. So then I have five yes or no questions.
No,
I've never gotten to five. And then I rewrite the sentence and I hand it back to you. And that's it. It's like getting new.
I'm going to be very honest here.
But you're not going to get it right, just so you know.
That's all right. I'm going to just be honest. I'm not sure if that's right.
Hold on. Don't take it till I'm ready with my shirt off. Let me flex a little bit.
She got nervous. She dropped her phone.
I dropped my phone.
I am an impotent man. There's nothing to be nervous about.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
Looks like I have no pants on, too. Look at the look on your face in that photo. Send that to me, Heather.
Oh, my God.
Heather's got a look on her face like, like when a 14-year-old boy hears hot for teacher for the first time.
Hilarious.
Natalie, darling.
Can I post those?
Yes, darling.
Oh, yeah.
All right, good.
If I say trauma, and I say this to everybody. If I say trauma, it means trauma. I'm not going any further.
But now I'm confused. This is a genuine.
I'm going to give you a new eyeglass prescription and help you.
But this is like a genuine feeling and a genuine reason.
This is
reason.
What's been bothering you.
Okay.
This is the thing, like,
right.
I can't go the rest of my life feeling this way.
Okay, all right.
I know what it is already. And I know, Heather, you just let me peek behind that into that magic garden at Springsteen.
Did you like it?
No. I need you to know that you don't realize how successful you are. And I think you just need to – I know that you need to pause and stop – you know, a hummingbird can fly still.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only bird that can be still. And that's when they beat their wings the hardest. You have to realize when you're going like, what's next, what's next, what's next, what's next, you're not going anywhere. You're the most successful person you know. You decided to leave a show on your own volition. That's balls. That's success. To be able to go, no, I don't want to be on television. And I'm one of the few people that know like how much money it is and the shooting schedule. You have a podcast that I know for a fact, because I'm friends with everybody in here, is very more successful than mine that I've been doing 5 years, asshole. You're a mom. Your kids are exceptional, and they have compassion, and they have love in their hearts, and they don't know to like tease or anything like that. Your husband's madly in love with you. This doubt that you have is like swimming with your clothes on, and you're far too beautiful and intelligent, and you're the most successful person you know. You're more successful than Terry. Terry picked a lane, and he filled that lane, and he's incredible at what he does in that lane. You're on like a 16-lane blacktop going in both directions, and you're nailing it. And you need to just stop for a second and meditate for like – set a timer for 5 minutes and accept right now this is all working, because you don't allow yourself that.
I so appreciate that. And what's so weird is that's what I had to do to myself this weekend.
That's what's coming out of you.
Isn't that
funny? You let your guard down. It's like a speakeasy, like that little door opens. Like, I don't know, Harold, get out of here.
I thank you very much for saying that. That speaks to my heart. And I have to tell you that I was a little out of it last week because I've had so many issues going on and so many fabulous things, too. And I've been exactly in that moment. And I did that with myself this weekend. Today was a good day.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want Natalie's reading.
I want a new word.
I want Natalie's reading, though.
Really?
Yeah, because that's like a lightweight. Be brave.
Do it, Natalie.
This will be bonus content behind the firewall.
Give me your perfect woman.
Oh, I don't know.
Come on. What are the qualities? Not looks.
Yes, looks.
Okay, looks.
Of course, looks.
Tall,
like
brunette,
Oscar Wilde said, like,
hot, blonde, big boobed.
No, I never had a type, ever. I don't have a type. Like, we were talking before we came on the air.
You've had two hot wives, so
I liked your shoes.
Yeah, you liked my shoes.
And you're like, all right, that's kind of hot that you like my shoes. But I go, I'm not a foot guy, and I don't understand feet guys. It's like, you know, just about 2.5 feet north, there's sort of a treasure chest of activity.
Well, my husband, weirdly, is a boob guy, and I don't have any anymore, so that sucks for him.
Well, you're married to the right guy.
Yeah, it's just not my thing.
What, having boobs?
Having implants.
Okay.
Yeah. I had natural breasts before I had kids, and that, like, big natural D breast.
Go.
I'm sorry.
You
this
said
is
that,
TMI.
Like, really? No, it's not TMI. Hold on.
They were
people
spectacular.
People say TMI. I hate that. Like, not you hate it. But it's like when people go like, okay, TMI. Like, no, you asked me what my flu was like. So I told you I had diarrhea. You're like, TMI. Like, no, that's what you asked me.
I'm answering. All right, anyway.
Are you looking up synonyms for anxious?
Yes.
I had big, fabulous breasts. And then having four kids, they changed.
I got terrified that you had like...
Oh, no, no, no. Thank God.
Oh, my gosh.
No, no, no. All good. No, no. Healthy, thank God. No, all fine. But they're just not what they were. But you know what? He's happy. I'm happy. I just don't see myself as someone who wants to have plastic surgery.
Heather,
even though I'm married to a plastic surgeon.
There's no such thing as a bad set. No guy has ever taken off a bra and went, what the fuck is this?
By the way, Terry's texting me back. He goes, speechless. Can I take my shirt off next time I'm there? Don't tempt me.
Yes, and tell Terry I'm totally comfortable with another guy in the room.
That's so funny.
I'm okay. Like, if me and Terry are naked in the same room, I'm okay. Not, you know, to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I realize
no, I get that. Yes, it's all good.
So we'll do this off the air, and then you guys can talk about it next.
Okay. We're going to talk about that now. I don't know what to say. But let me just say, I adore you, and I think you're fabulous, and I'm going to find you your next someone. Well, not yet, because it's too soon.
I don't have a type.
I want you to come back. Tell everyone how to find you.
My sister's ass, okay?
In a realistic way, please.
My shirt's been open this much the whole time?
Yes.
Hey, Zabba Dabba, you know what I mean? Verona, New Jersey. JMoore.com, a lot of content. More Stories Podcast is I'm very proud of it. And there's a daily sports pod. The links to both are at the top of my Twitter. And how about when people go like, retweets are not endorsements? Like, really? Then why the fuck did you retweet them,
Don't
Senator?
Do it then. Where are you playing soon?
July. Well, okay. Saturday, I'm at the Hollywood Improv at 10 p.m. It's just me. Usually there's like eight comics. Mm-hmm. And they give me
The 29th?
Yeah. Okay. I do like an hour and 40 minutes. It's fun.
That's cool.
And then the 26th of August, I'm at the Hollywood Improv at 8 p.m. That's just me. And then there's a big, like, Texas three-step. All my dates are up at jmoore.com. Oh, Denver. A lot of Housewives fans in Denver and in Colorado. I'm going to be at Comedy Works August 10, 11, and 12. And that is the single best comedy club in the whole world. And, well, I can't go. It's an hour and a half from my... Well, I just fucking drove and flew 3 hours. So maybe you could, you know, help out.
By the way, you're so funny. I just adore you. We're gonna have you back very soon. And you guys, go check him out and go see a show.
Delightful.
Thank you.
You guys are terrific.
Thanks for being here. That was fun. I mean, I how could you not go tune in to Jay Moore's podcast now?
I know. Yeah.
He's interesting.
He really is.
And when you look in his eyes, he's so intense.
I know.
He's very pretty.
Tells you how it is.
Yeah.
And he's honest and blunt and funny. I mean, he's a cool guy.
So if you want to learn more about Jay or Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig or anything, you got to go to the new Podcast One app. Podcast One app is awesome. Go download it at the App Store or on Google Play, and you can find out everything about your favorite shows and get more content, find articles, social media, episodes, make playlists. It's just really easy to comment and connect with other show fans. It's like we have our own little community here on the Podcast One app. Some shows you can get 360 video. Or you can watch a bunch in virtual reality. How high tech is that? It looks cool with so many things you can do, including fun things like rewards. Hello, rewards for listening. So much more. Go to the App Store or Google Play and get the new Podcast One app right now.
HBO's Game of Thrones is back for its seventh season. Winter is finally here, and so are the White Walkers. Will the Seven Kingdoms of Westeros survive the threat from the North? Or will they fall in the looming war for the Iron Throne? After you're done watching an episode, join the discussion here on the Game of Thrones After Show on Podcast One. Every week, our hosts discuss each episode in detail, from shocking twists to fan theories, as the series chronicles the violent struggle among the realm's noble families for ultimate power. Join the fray every week on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Now, back to Heather Dubrow's world.
He's so fun.
So fun.
Okay, what do we have for Dear Heather today?
Okay, here's a question from Charlotte in LA. Dear Heather, love listening to you and Natalie each week. I was wondering your thoughts on Skin Laundry. It is a laser facial boutique where the procedure is performed by a certified profession, and then they say that the staff is supervised by a board-certified surgeon. I have heard friends say that it's great, but I'm unsure about getting a laser treatment not done by a doctor. What are your thoughts?
So the thing is that if it's a busy doctor, they're not going to do the laser. There's always going to be a nurse doing it. Any kind of busy plastic surgeon isn't doing the actual laser, or dermatologist for that matter. But the only thing to look out for is this. I remember back in the day, there used to be, when I was younger, I remember my friend going to someplace for like laser hair removal or something. Mm-hmm. And it was a place that you'd go to and there were these nurses doing it. And it was, quote, under a doctor's care, but the doctor wasn't on the premises.
Mm-hmm.
I would highly recommend not doing that. Although I think that the laws have changed and the doctor actually has to be on the premises, but I'm not entirely sure. My opinion is if you go into a doctor's office that is a reputable doctor, they will have someone there that is a nurse that can do that for you. And then that's absolutely fine.
Got it.
Okay, just one question today because I am so late. I got to buzz back to Orange County and meet up with Terry to do Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig podcast, which is, you know, every Tuesday right here on Podcast One. Thank you guys so much for listening. Oh, and thank you all for sending emails about the Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig weight loss control group. We're not quite ready. I have all the hundreds of you that have
so many people
who have been sending me messages. We're probably still about 2 months away from picking a group, but I promise I will let you know and give you plenty of time to write in. But we have your names if you've already written in. Thank you again so much, and we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Heather Dubrow's World. Download new episodes every Tuesday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Hey everyone, it's Caitlin Bristow. You can listen to my show, Off the Vine, with Caitlin Bristow every Tuesday on Podcast One. Hear me take on taboo topics and unfiltered advice. I'll also be dishing with some amazing celebrities. Oh, and did I mention there'll be wine? So grab a glass and join me every Tuesday on podcastone.com, the new Podcast One app, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts.